This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director, with Dan Kirby, as we're going to be talking about Minnehaha Country Club, something that has a history, which is really a history of the Sioux Falls. Dan, you've been there for how long?
Well, I'm the oldest of the fifth generation of Kirbys in Sioux Falls, so we've been here forever. My association with the Minnehaha Country Club goes back to, I think I was 11 or 12 when I started caddying there. But it goes deeper than that in our family. I know my grandparents were members, and my folks had their wedding reception out there.
A lot of people have been married out there. We were talking earlier, school parties, proms, and you name it. There's a part of Sioux Falls everywhere you look. Minnehaha Country Club has been a part of that. I didn't know it. My grandfather built a lot of the homes around the McKinnon Park area back in the old days. But Minnehaha Country Club started at McKinnon Park. And back then it was the edge of Sioux Falls, but now it's the middle of it.
Well, McKinnon sure is. Their next location, of course, they moved way west, what was way west then, out across what is now Kiwanis Avenue. It used to be Harvard Avenue. And in fact, I don't think it was because of Minnehaha, but there was a trolley that ran all the way down 22nd west out to, I believe, Kiwanis. And I'm sure that helped some of the business people who wanted to go out there for a game of golf during the week or weekend, whatever.
Sioux Falls was on the edge of technology back then. We had our own municipal power plant to run those trolleys that, of course, is the restaurant that's down at the Falls Park now.
Exactly right, yep.
Now, McKinnon Park has quite an interesting story. A guy just decided all of a sudden that he wanted to have a golf course, but it was pretty much manicured by the sheep back then.
I think that's the truth of, that's certainly true even back where golf was invented in Scotland. Mm-hmm. You know, there weren't any lawnmowers until a lot later. And whatever was grazing on the land kept it clean.
Now, 1917, they got together in 1916 and that and decided, now, where the Sioux River is out there, where Minnehaha Country Club is now, that was a park, Sherman Park. You know, my mom used to lifeguard the city swimming pool out there. And they'd walk from First Avenue downtown here out there every winter for ice skating. But that had to really be on the edge of Sioux Falls.
Well, it really was. And when they went out there, I'm sure the Austin Farm was in the neighborhood by then. But apparently the land between 22nd and about 26th, well, further south, actually, all the way to 33rd, was in private hands. And the fellows, it was all men in those days. Mm-hmm. The downtown businessmen who started the club at McKinnon Park apparently decided in the 20s that they needed more land and their own clubhouse. And so
needed more than nine holes.
They went west, yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, the aspect of the river has always been a problem out there. A lot of people don't realize. I can remember KELO radio back in the early 60s even, you know, saying we need volunteers to sandbag the downtown area because weather waxes might get flooded with, you know, the floods. Flooding was a big thing until we built those diversion channels around the city.
Exactly right. And I remember, or I've seen pictures actually, of the entire Minnehaha course was underwater during one of the summers of, I think it was 52, and they just lost their entire golf season because it took that long to recover. The golf course used to originally cross the river seven times in the course of 18 holes.
So you lost a lot of golf balls, you mean?
Yes, you did, and it made it very difficult, especially for women and kids, because most of the men could hit over those rivers, and not many of the rest of us could.
So really, there was more hazard back then than there is now. That when was it that they really changed the river and you were able to make it what it is now?
Well, the flood control projects, I think, went in, as I recall, in the 60s, and that's what changed the course. It remained fairly stable until about 5 years ago when the Corps of Engineers came in and said those dikes just aren't quite high enough. Neither the Minnehaha Country Club nor Westward Ho nor a lot of local engineers agreed with them. But when the Corps of Engineers wants to do something, they do it. And they raised those dikes, I think it's 5 feet. But as you can imagine, if you raise something 5 feet like that, the sides move out 10 or 20 yards into the two golf courses. So it was pretty devastating for both golf courses, and they adjusted by bringing in some architects who redesigned some holes, moved everything a bit in the case of Minnehaha, a bit to the east, and Westward Ho made some adjustments as well at the same time.
Well, Minnehaha Country Club's been the home of Chris Cheddar, and it is one name. There's been a lot of people that have come out of Minnehaha Country Club and been pretty well known in the golf business.
Well, back in the 50s and 60s, further into the, probably into the 70s as well, it pretty much dominated South Dakota golf in terms of the amateur champions, men's and women. My sister-in-law, Peggy Kirby, was, I think, state champion five times or six, and Chris Cheddar was the next generation to come along, and she won a bunch of stuff locally before she became a huge success. You know, she finished second in both the U.S. Open and the Kraft Nabisco Dinosaur Tournament out in the California desert, and those are two of ladies' golf's four majors. If she'd won one of those, we'd have seen her face on even more magazines and sports magazines and advertising.
Well, you and I were both talking about, we went to Washington High back in the mid-60s, but golf wasn't that big a thing for high school back then, was it? I don't think we had a golf team.
Well, actually, we had a golf team dating from World War II on, mm-hmm. and Washington High dominated that, won it every year for, decades consecutively, until the late 60s and 70s. But it was never a major sport. I recall getting my letter in golf, but I was kind of embarrassed to wear it when the football players were around because they didn't think that was much of a sport.
Well, good. But now golf is really a pretty big thing with all the high schools in Sioux Falls.
Well, that's right. And thankfully, women's girls golf is just as big as boys now. And when you get to college, the scholarships are there. It's a great way to get a college education, because with Title IX, as in many other women's sports, there's a lot of scholarships available. If you learn to play golf as a gal, you can turn it into probably not a career like Chris Cheddar, but you can get a great education out of it.
How big is Minnehaha Country Club? I mean, as far as acres?
Oh, you have to talk to the greens people and the management about that. It's 100 and some acres, mm. but I can't give you the...
Now, greenskeeping is quite a career in itself, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over the years, the greenskeepers that we've had have stayed a very long time. The first one was a fellow named Starkey, I believe, and his dog is still buried in the middle of the golf course. And
his daughter?
Yep, you bet.
Now,
we've had a great career at keeping greenskeepers for a long time. I believe the fellow who's there is only about the fifth one in modern history.
She's buried there?
Yeah.
How do you have a grave in the middle of a golf course?
Well, it's a dog, not a...
Oh, a dog, okay.
Yeah, no, there aren't any people buried out there that we know of.
Well, isn't there some Indian mounds?
Well...
Or they think it is?
I think the principal mounds are next door at Sherman Park.
Okay.
But we haven't seen any terrain that resembles that on the grounds of Minnehaha Country Club.
But now the mounds down at Sherman Park are just across the, few yards of Minnehaha Country.
Within about 100 yards of the northern edge of Minnehaha Country Club, you bet.
So there was a lot of people living in that area for quite a few, you might say, hundreds of years.
Well, the Sioux River was a big attraction, whether it was down by Blood Run or inside what is now the city limits. But, there were tribes of many different kinds and over many different centuries that populated, hung around the area, probably not down by the falls as much as where the city started, but there's evidence of that all around this area.
So do you still find possibly any arrowheads out on the greens?
We not that I try not to take divots big enough to find the arrowheads, but I think in that neighborhood, I recall growing up that before they fenced off some of the Indian mounds at Sherman, there would occasionally be some people out there with metal detectors and looking around for what they could find.
Now, there's been special events out there, too, city events and other things as far as, what are some of the things that you remember?
Well, the Minnehaha is principally a private club, so there's been a lot of weddings and graduations, as you suggested, and parties. When Citibank first came to town, they made it practice every Christmas of having a party for local legislators, lawmakers, local officials, and the some of the most successful businesses in town. And those were fantastic. I think they're still the highest budget parties ever thrown here.
How many people are members of Minnehaha Country Club now?
Well, there's 350 full members, certificate members. There's another 50 in special categories or so, but it's a relatively small club. It's much smaller, for example, than Westward Ho Country Club.
And you have quite a few tournaments.
Well, being one of the best, I still think it's the best course in South Dakota. We attract the state amateurs, whether it's for men, women, seniors, couples. And so we have a lot of those come to town, and it's just it's recognized whenever one of those state tournaments is held at Minnehaha, the registration from around the state tends to run a lot higher than anywhere else because people love to play it.
Well, everybody remembers or knows the Kirby Float during St. Patrick's Day. Five generations, you say?
I'm the oldest of the fifth generation of Kirbys in Sioux Falls.
Now, do they all play golf?
Well, most of us do who are still around, yeah.
Tom Walsh is being associated now with the Great Life, where there's kind of a connection now with health and trying to get the young people to be excited about golf. And when you start thinking about it, there's a lot of golf courses around the Sioux Falls area now.
There really are. If you're if you were doing an economic study, you might conclude that there's too many. But Tom's effort is incredible. Nationally, the number of young people taking up golf is down. Tom intends to reverse that trend in Sioux Falls in South Dakota. And I'll tell you what, whatever Tom sets his mind to do is going to happen.
Well, that's what I mean. It's bringing the new generation excited about the health and everything. Now, do you say it's better to walk or ride in the golf cart?
Well, it's always been better to walk on the golf course, but I think I already told you I started caddying over 50 years ago. So with a little arithmetic, you can tell that now I do a lot more riding than walking.
How long does it take to put in 18 holes in Minnehaha Country Club now?
We try very hard to keep it under 4 hours. It's been proven almost anybody can play golf in less than 4 hours. And if you're playing much longer than that, you're slowing down everybody behind you.
Well, the aspect of Minnehaha Country Club, what's on the drawing board for maybe in the next 5-10 years? Is there something that is in the plans?
Well, there have been a lot of improvements in recent years. Until a little over a decade ago, we didn't have tennis courts. We have that now. We're beginning to focus on outdoor dining because that's a walk up and down Phillips Avenue on a Saturday night, and you'll see that's the trend. And there's always some refurbishment to a building that was built in the 1960s, a new emphasis or a renewed emphasis on casual dining because that seems to be the another trend that's certainly taking over these days. You don't see many people in coats and ties having dinner anymore.
Well, it's one place where there's a valet. You know, they come and they'll park their car for you. You've got this beautiful landscape. You got the beautiful clubhouse, and now the dining is pretty special there.
It is a special place. They work very hard to have a first class chef at all times, and Not everyone's able to go there. It's a private club, but if you're lucky enough to get in there, yeah, you're going to be very pleased with the food.
Do you have to be invited to be a member?
Generally, yes. But if people come to town and haven't met many associates yet and are interested, all they have to do is call Ted Thee to start the process, and he'll introduce them to some members who are already there, and ideally make a sale very quickly.
Now, Ted's another family of many generations.
That's the truth, yep. And Ted has been involved in the club business here for decades. He made Westward Ho the success it was for a number of years. And we've been really pleased to have him managing Minnehaha Country Club now for over a decade.
a lot of people use the pool this summer?
You know, the pools kind of went out of vogue for a while, and the tennis courts kind of dried up for a while in the 90s and maybe the first decade of this century. But I tell you what, they're crowded again now. And the young moms are out there with their kids 7 days a week, and they're getting used.
How does a young person, you know, if they want to become a golf pro nowadays, what would you recommend with all your experience?
A golf pro?
Or get into the business like Chris Jeter did?
To become a playing professional, I recommend you be born south of here. Because except for the Byron brothers, Kurt and Tom, and Chris Jeter, they're really the exception to the rule. If you grow up here, your season is very limited. Even the toughest kids can't play golf for more than about 5.5 months. And until recently, we haven't had any practice facilities indoors. But if you love golf and you're a kid, just play as much as you can. Take advantage of the first tee program. Hang around the golf course. There aren't too many caddies anymore. But the more you're there, the more you learn. And the more you practice, the more you will earn eventually, whether you become a teaching professional or you're just selling golf equipment. And who knows, lightning might strike and you might be the next person on the PGA Tour.
We have to be careful about lightning in golf. But
yes, you do.
has there been anyone get struck by lightning that you know of?
I am told that, I recall that somebody was killed by lightning at Elmwood a number of years ago. I don't think that Minnehaha or Westward Ho has had the misfortune to have that happen. But one of the reasons they haven't is that nowadays pro shops keep a watch on weather radar, and they'll sound an alarm if lightning is on the way. And unless you're crazy, you beat feet right back to the clubhouse as fast as you can when that happens.
Now, if we were to announce tomorrow that this was a new opening of something brand new, it would be front page news, because the economic impact of something like Minnehaha Country Club, you have quite a few staff, employees, jobs. How many people work there?
Well, you'd have to ask the management for a detailed count. But yeah, at this time of year, there's an awful lot of wait staff and lifeguards and golf shop staff. It gets pretty lean in the winter. You still have a restaurant going, but I think on any given day, our greens crew numbers several dozen out taking care of the course. And so, yeah, it's a good employer in town. It's also been historically a great citizen. I mean, I can go back all the way to World War II when we had the air base here. Minnehaha opened up its golf facility to the enlisted men and officers who were here, opened up their social events on weekends, and generally tried to provide a home for the, I think it was 40 or 50,000 young men who were here when it was an Air Corps radio school.
And
so going all the way back then, and that's continued ever since.
City of Sioux Falls was only, 10,000, I think, when back in those days, wasn't it?
10 or 20,000, mm-hmm. And then to have 45,000 or whatever airmen go through radio school here, it was a major disruption.
Many of those came back after the war, married young ladies here, and became part of the everything from morales to the workforce that we have, to the people that did, you know, built the businesses and manufacturing and the things that have made Sioux Falls today.
Well, it was one of the reasons we had such a great long runway, which turned into, with the help of Joe Foss and others, turned into an Air National Guard during the 50s, and it's now just a tremendous asset. You can go to cities an awful lot bigger than this that don't have airports and air service like we do, and I think it traces back to having that great facility here during World War II.
Well, Joe Foss probably played a little bit of golf, didn't he?
You know, he was a farm kid. He didn't do it growing up. He probably did later, but when he wasn't hunting, he probably played golf.
Or hitting up football teams.
That's right.
I was speaking with Dan Kirby about something you drive by in Kiwanis Avenue. If you haven't been inside, Minnehaha Country Club is a part of the city of Sioux Falls history. You had your 100th anniversary a few years ago.
106 this year, I think.
What were some of the things that was featured about the Centurion celebration?
Well, just a recollection of the great history and great traditions out there. An awful lot of families grew up there, and in my case, my parents did, and I did, and my brothers did, and we raised two kids out there as well.
Well, for families today, certainly it's one of the many opportunities, and like I say, it's got that classic style. You almost feel like you got to have a shiny car when you drive up there a little bit. When people say Minnehaha Country Club, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's just a family tradition in this community. It's a fine asset. It's a nature preserve, among other things. There's nothing more peaceful. We have an awful lot of species that live out there and live nowhere else in the community.
You don't have any beavers, do you?
Oh, yes, we do.
And what else? Ducks?
Ducks. We have a dog that's owned by the greenskeeper, and he keeps the geese away, but the ducks are usually welcome.
How early do people really kind of start hitting the greens out there?
Well, our golf course opens as soon as our greenskeeper is assured that the grass is growing and that it's safe to have traffic on it. Some of the commercial courses and even a couple of the public courses get really brave and they open up a little earlier. But if you put traffic on ground that's still frozen, the turf's going to regret it and you're going to regret it.
Well, Minnehaha Country Club is held in regard nationally, I think, as compared to some other courses around the country, isn't it?
Yeah, you bet. Our golf course is highly rated, and as our country club is well respected around the country. Among others, there's not that many that are 106 years old. And we have a full membership and a waiting list, which is rare in today's marketplace.
How many golf cars do you got? Quite a few out there.
Oh, I think we maintain about 60 or 70 all the time, and they get a lot of use.
And an electric bill, I could imagine, too.
Well, they're all batteries, but yeah, it's a serious business. And but again, if you're smart, you'll walk the golf course.
Are there any Caddyshack moments that you can kind of smile about a little bit?
Well, when I started caddying, there was a great group of young men, all men in those days, and the place where we hung out was literally a caddy shack hanging off the edge of the river that now faces, it would now face the condominiums on Westward Ho Country Club. Fortunately, the accommodations have improved, and so probably has the lifestyle. It was pretty rugged in those days. You had to bring your own lunch, and you spent a lot of time sitting around waiting for the players to come out. We had a great old professional, Ed Livingston, who's in everybody's South Dakota State Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame. He was a great coach and referee, and our golf professional. He also ran the caddy program, and we'd be sitting out there in the caddy shack during a huge thunderstorm and begging to go home, and his favorite saying was that 5 minutes after the heaviest rain, the players will be out. So no, you're not going home.
How much did you get paid as a caddy back in those days?
You know, my recollection is that nine holes was 90 cents. But that's a long time ago. That was better than any other option that 12 or 13-year-old had in those days.
And 90 cents would do a lot.
Well, it would get you down to the Egyptian Theater for a movie and popcorn.
And the Granada, yeah, the Milwaukee Coney Island, 15 cents, they could get a hot dog.
That's right. And I think Max Pasley's first hamburger sold for, was it 5 cents?
That's right, yeah. McDonald's over in Indiana, mm-hmm. I believe, at that time, when they had real arches.
Exactly.
Well, you saw Sioux Falls grow up, and you saw Minnehaha Country Club be a part of it. But some people say now that they'd like to have 26th Street or some of that go through some of that, and that's been brought up a few times, hasn't it?
Yeah, a couple of answers to that. I've been in other cities like Denver and Minneapolis where you're driving down a major thoroughfare and boom, you run into a golf course that's been there for, in our case, 106 years. And it's just you live with it and you build the roads around it. But if we got real rambunctious and wanted to run 18th or 22nd or 26th or something through there, you can't imagine how expensive it would be to, you know, the law doesn't allow you to just take something and turn it into a road. Putting a road through the middle of one of those golf courses would obviously ruin it for golf. And so you got to pay an awful lot of damage so that those, the people who are members, would then take that pile of millions of dollars out and build a new one to replace it. And on the either side of your roads, then it would become a residential neighborhood. So it's a, given the fact that it's a repository of, it's an Audubon, actually a certified Audubon spot for various species and animals and wildlife, and it's pretty, and it's been there forever. Maybe we should have planned better in the past, the way we did the roads around there, but going through there or going through the zoo would be just very expensive.
Well, you grew up with the zoo. I can remember when the zoo was just a row of cages, and the one lion would roar so loud you could hear him downtown.
Well, and I still live in that neighborhood, and he still roars, and you can still hear him. But it's, yeah, the zoo's been an incredible development in that neighborhood, and it just adds a lot to have the golf courses and the zoo and Sherman Park all in one area.
Now, celebrities sometimes come to the arena and that and so forth. If they wanted to go to golf, sometimes they show up at Minnehaha Country Club, don't they?
Yeah, they do. We've played, I've had the pleasure of playing with a few of them, and I know that the Blue Angels, when they come to town, show up out there about 6:30 in the morning, the day of the show, and enjoy a round of golf. And if you're coming to town to perform or to do anything else, you don't have to ask too many people before they say, if you want to play golf, that's the place to go.
Well, like you say, you're five generations. What are some of your, you know, if you were to put in a picture in the scrapbook of your experience at Minnehaha Country Club, what would be the experience that you would remember most?
Oh, playing junior golf out there. I was serious about it. And that's at that age, that's all you do, and you hang out. I lived there on my bicycle, or eventually we moved to the neighborhood and I walked over. But I spent most of every summer day out there and played a lot of golf and played with some of the great names in South Dakota State golf history. I wasn't quite good enough to win all the tournaments they did, but I got to play with them and caddy for some of them, and I'll cherish that forever.
Now, did you move to Riverview Heights because of Minnehaha Country Club?
No, my parents moved to Riverview Heights because they were having more babies, and the house we were in couldn't hold us over on 33rd and Center.
So you didn't have very far to have to ride your bicycle to go there?
Not once we got there, but I rode from 33rd and Center for a lot of years when I was a real kid.
Had a Schwinn or a Huffy?
A Schwinn.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Sioux Falls was a part of the, you know, the history that we see out of Minnehaha Country Club. Mm-hmm. And the view is something that's spectacular, and we want to keep that. If somebody is just moving to Sioux Falls, what would you describe Minnehaha Country Club as if they've never seen it before?
Well, it's the best view in Sioux Falls, one of the best views in the state, I think. It's just perfectly manicured grounds, as far as the eye can see from that clubhouse. And the pool's lovely. The tennis is good. We're surrounded by kids all day long out there all summer. And it's a great family place and a great asset to our community.
And like I say, the golf course was designed by some of the best, right?
Yeah, Mr. Langford designed a bunch of courses like that in the 1920s. And he's not as famous as some of the ones we hear about today, but he's getting more and more respect. One of his courses was Omaha Country Club, which had the men's the PGA Senior Tournament last year, the Senior U.S. Open, and I went down and took a look at that for a few days, and it just reminds you of the perfect setting that he found when he built Minnehaha Country Club.
Dan Kirby, Minnehaha Country Club, since 1905, want to thank you for being with us on Forum.
Thank you.